Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesztc.org.
Imagine a soldier the size of an insect. The ultimate secret weapon.
If you give godlike powers to everyone, it's going to be chaos.
So how do we stop him?
I know a guy. Scott, I've been watching you for a while. You're different. And I believe everyone deserves a shot at redemption. Do you?
Absolutely. My days of breaking into places and stealing stuff are over. What do you want me to do?
I want you to break into a place and steal some stuff.
Makes sense.
Are you ready to become a hero?
Now, the suit has power. You have to learn how to control it.
That's the trailer for the latest superhero movie. He's a very small superhero when he's being super, Ant-Man. We're going to be reviewing that movie with Pastor Ted Giese. It's obviously fun when you have Paul Rudd as your leading man. There is the superhero. It's hard not to look at him and expect comedy. And there is some comedy here, but is there anything more substantive than that? Joining us to review the movie Ant-Man, Pastor Ted Giese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
It's obviously a fun movie. It's intended to be fun. But is there substance to this fun film?
You know what? Surprisingly, there is. I was happily surprised that they kind of really latched onto something that I think people who are, students of Lutheran theology will recognize. This idea of, I think they say it in Latin as coram mundo, which is righteousness in the eyes of the world. So this is like the second kind of righteousness. This isn't like righteousness has any merit or standing in terms of eternal salvation. But this is kind of like civic righteousness. This is that part of things. And I think that it's a pretty good presentation of that in this film, which and clearly presented, I think, more so than other films. And there's lots of movies that kind of deal with that kind of just in general in the background because of drama. But I think that this is quite clearly portrayed in this film.
Give us a kind of an overview of the plot of this film.
Okay, the plot of the film is this is a superhero comedy film. So the comedy element of it is what makes it like a lot of fun. Think Honey, I Shrunk the Kids meets Iron Man with some self-deprecating humor all wrapped in it. And it's a Marvel comic book movie. It's a Marvel Studios movie. And it's the focus is that there's this guy, Dr. Hank Pym, who figured out a way to shrink the space between atoms effectively with the help of this protective suit, making a human being the size of an ant. And I guess you can go smaller than that, but that's the size that he kind of landed on. And what happens is you wear the suit, you shrink down, and you maintain your density. In fact, you have an increased density. So it makes the wearer of the suit kind of like a speeding bullet. And then also he communicates with ants. So the whole idea is that Dr. Pym developed this technology and then thought that it was kind of too dangerous. So he mothballed it and hung up the mantle of Ant-Man. And what happens in this film is that a pupil of his is figuring out how to do this himself, And in order to stop him, he calls upon the help of this burglar who just got out of prison. That's the guy, Scott Lang, played by Paul Rudd. The guy playing Dr. Hank Pym is Michael Douglas. So you have this passing on of the Ant-Man suit from one guy to another guy, and him being trained in how to use it, and that makes up the film, plus then trying to stop this pupil of Dr. Pym's, Darren Cross, from you know, achieving what he wanted to with his work on this alternate suit as well. So
this is kind
that's
of
that's the.
I was going to say this is kind of a variation of another one of the probably far more popular superheroes in the Marvel universe, which is Iron Man. It's not that it's not that Tony Stark has any powers. He just has lots of money and vast intelligence. But really, the suit is the hero.
Yeah, and they even mention Tony Stark and Iron Man's suit in this. And they said that, you know, like, well, that doesn't really, you know, that's just a kind of a one-trick pony. Like, this can do more because you're shrinking down and doing all these other things. But it's a similar formula, and it's got some of the wisecracking humor of that first big Marvel movie that kind of broke in into the movie scene. Like, they'd had some other Marvel Studio movies prior to Iron Man, the first Iron Man, but that first Iron Man with Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man was one that really kicked all these Marvel movies into gear and gave you what we've got now this last number of years. So it is kind of riffing on that same idea, but guess what? It worked really good for Iron Man, and it's worked quite well for this movie too.
So let's talk about that element of these films, whether in the Marvel Universe you actually do have demigods. You have beings that are partly human, or at least partly human-like, and they have godlike powers. And then you have a suite of various very skilled human beings with no real supernatural kind of powers at work here. And yet, we heard there in the trailer talk about, you know, if you give a man godlike powers, is much of the theme of these films, including Ant-Man, what you do when you finally can do whatever you want to do?
Yeah, I think that that's an important detail, because you also have the villains in these movies who are in some ways quite a lot like the superheroes, only they're making different choices. And this, actually, at the very end of this movie, after the credits and everything, they kind of point forward to something coming up next year, which is the Marvel movie Captain America Civil War, in which Iron Man and Captain America kind of duke it out. And they're kind of forcing people to pick sides. So the question is, who's the villain, who's the hero in that, right? So, yeah, it boils down to what you do when you have the ability to do what you're going to do. So you can almost think of it in terms of the vocation of the sword. If you have the vocation of the sword, you can either use it in a God-pleasing way, or you can use it in a selfish way that hurts other people. And that's kind of like the crux of their story, is how they act out on what they've the responsibilities they've been given due to their extra abilities and technology that's at their disposal.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We're reviewing the movie Ant-Man on this Thursday afternoon, July the 23rd. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. We'll be right back.
Everybody in the neighborhood is dressing up to be there too. And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida, St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia, and Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Pastor Donald Jordan welcoming you to Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church in Chico, California. We stand upon the inspired, inerrant Word of God and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Students at Chico State and Butte College are welcome to our college group. Our divine service is at 10 and Sunday school at 9. We are located at 750 Moss Avenue, and our website is redeemerchico.org.
When the Apostle Paul stated, "I have become all things to all men," was he talking about fitting in with the world? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, "All Things to All Men." You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor David Wan's story of failing to find Lutheran theology in several Lutheran churches, but finding it in Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions, the free online Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're reviewing the movie Ant-Man. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. In a few minutes, we'll turn to the subject of the Little Sisters of the Poor. They're going back to the Supreme Court. They've done very well there, not so well in the lower courts of appeals, but that's why they're back at the Supreme Court. The issue, of course, will be religious liberty and the HHS mandate. We'll talk with a representative of the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty in the last 10 minutes of the program. So how does Paul Rudd do? I mean, Paul Rudd is probably best known as one of the sidekicks in the Anchorman movies and kind of the silly adult comedies. How does he do as a superhero?
He's very accessible. The thing about this superhero movie is, like, we just had that Avengers Age of Ultron from the Marvel Studios, which is huge. And what you see with this movie is they know that each successive movie, thankfully they know this, it doesn't have to be bigger than the last one. So in this movie, as might be imagined, since it's Ant-Man, it's a much smaller movie. So it's basically a heist film with some comedy set in that Marvel world, and it kind of launches this Ant-Man character into the rogues gallery of superheroes that they've got at their disposal for future films. But because of that, because of being a smaller movie, he, you know, works great in that movie. Like, Paul Rudd can do that, and we also know that he's good with the ensemble cast thing. So later when he shows up in some of these other ones, I'm assuming that he's going to do a perfectly good job in that. But I don't think that if it was a gigantic, epic, huge movie as big as Avengers Age of Ultron, I don't know that he could carry that. But he can carry this because it's a smaller, kind of tinier idea for a movie, and he does a great job, and he brings some good comedy to it as well.
So it sounds like the movie plays nicely on some good storytelling basics like a character redemption, And really just the best stories often just deal with character redemption in terms of, as you said, before men, not before God, not divine redemption. But in fact, I mean, ultimately, it's probably, let's just be honest, it's self-redemption of one's reputation or one's relationship or something like that.
Well, yeah, and this is where, you know, my ears perk up when I'm watching a movie and you hear something like a character saying, "Are you ready to redeem yourself?" As soon as I hear that, you know, I'm like, what exactly are they getting at here? And the character who says that to Paul Rudd's character is this Dr. Pym. So Hank Pym says to Scott Lang, "Are you ready to redeem yourself?" And he talks about second chances. The reason why it can be so firmly entrenched in the idea of righteousness or redemption in the eyes of the world or in the eyes of your neighbor and not so much in the eyes of God is because this Hank Pym's character, he has a messed up relationship with his own daughter. And now he sees that this Scott Lang character is on the verge of potentially having the same kind of messed up relationship with his young daughter. So he wants it to be better for Scott Lang's character than it was for him. So this is loving your neighbor as yourself. This is him wanting to help this Scott Lang character get out of the potential problem that he himself had been in. So this is why that redemption, and both characters, both Hank Pym and Scott Lang, they, to get some peace in their daily life, they need to have a better relationship with their daughters, respectively. And that's kind of an interesting element of this film, in amidst all of the laughs and chuckles and kind of cute sci-fi special effects and whatnot.
Is there also an affinity for another one of those heroes in the Marvel Universe, and that would be Captain America? He's kind of your classic one. In that, if I remember his mythology, he starts out as a kind of reluctant, almost trembling 95-pound weakling soldier, and then ends up being kind of revealing through accident the soldier within.
Yeah, he's got the heart of somebody who cares for others, but he doesn't have the body to do it. And then when he gets the body to do it, then that heart kind of shines through. So yeah, that's the kind of Captain America thing. And in this case too, this guy is a burglar, but the reason he was in prison, this Scott Lang, was because he saw people getting ripped off. So he blew the whistle on it, and the company didn't do anything. So he took it upon himself to to do the kind of internet heist kind of thing and redirect money that was stolen from people back to the very people it was stolen from. And that's how he wound up in prison. So, you know, he's kind of like maybe a Robin Hood kind of character, just in general. And then he gets found by this Dr. Pym and kind of headhunted into this job of being Ant-Man, because he needs to break into the facility and get all of the information from this villain, Darren Cross, the pupil of Hank Pym, who was not going to be a good guy and who wasn't a good guy.
Part of the way, I think in every superhero universe, the powers always come with, I mean, in the case of Spider-Man, it's great responsibility, but there's also kind of, the powers are a blessing, but they're also a curse. You've got, you know, Iron Man, who is able to afford and able to construct these great powerful machines to help him do what he wants to do. And he does great things, but he's also a victim of his own pride and arrogance. So with the power comes some sort of revelation of a core weakness there. Is that a picture here, or is it too lighthearted of a film to deal at that depth with the superhero scenario?
They may deal with that later, but at this point, you know, apart from him just generally being kind of a cocky guy, they don't deal with that. This is much, much lighter than something like Iron Man 3 or, you know, even some of the more recent Marvel movies. Think more like Guardians of the Galaxy. This is kind of more in that vein of the Marvel Universe. So it's much more lighthearted. They may get there with this character, but that's not the focus of this film.
How many superhero movies does the American public ultimately have an appetite for. It's gone far beyond anything I thought it would when they first started cranking these things out.
You know, I don't know. I guess we're going to find what the market bears, because they, like, Marvel has got two or three of these scheduled for every year coming up for the next, like, I don't know, 6 years or something. Like, it's a really large number of movies. And now DC, the other kind of rival comic book company, is starting to get into the mix too. So they've got Superman versus Batman coming out next year. So there's been some things about that. We did a review of the Man of Steel movie a year or so ago, I guess now. And so that's coming out too. And then they've got a slate of movies, like there's the Suicide Squad one coming out. So I don't know. Like, if you think back, there was a time when, like, all the TV shows, all the movies and stuff, like lots of them, not maybe all of them, but lots of them were focused on cowboys. So it was all like westerns. And then that kind of went away. And we're kind of at this kind of golden age of, like, comic book movie stuff. And eventually that the market's going to fall out of the bottom of that too. And I don't know what it's going to be, but there's going to be something different in that place, you know. But how long can they go? This is a good question. I don't know. Maybe at the core of all this is that people are hungry for that story of redemption, right? They want to see that story of redemption. And the church has got that story, and in fact, it's got the actual story. This stuff is all just riffing on it, right? Like, this is Christian capital. It's taking that thread and yanking it into their own story. But the church has the actual story in Christ Jesus.
So I guess that kind of answers the question of, you know, what makes these or any of these other redemption stories popular. There's an appetite for not just the rollicking story, not just the special effects, but there's an appetite for the fancy folks call the meta-narrative that all of us live with every day.
Yeah, and they do a fine job in this film of linking it into all of the other movies. Like, they have lots of references and things, and it's not hackneyed. It's done very smoothly. The whole thing, it's like, you know, just smoothly, you know, sliding it into the file folder full of the other movies. They even bring in this character of the Falcon, who was in The Winter Soldier and Avengers Age of Ultron, and who's going to be in this, Civil War movie with Captain America movie for next year. They just slip him in there too, and he's the gateway into the rest of the films for this Ant-Man character. So they're doing a good job of the meta-narrative as well, and the concept of meta-narrative is interesting because it's a good one to think about in terms of Scripture itself, because when you read Scripture, it can seem like the book of Ruth is fairly separate from, like, Ezekiel or, you know, but when you take a step further back and you let Scripture interpret Scripture and you look at the whole thing and how it's all pointing to Christ as the focal center point of it all, then you see how all of these different books of the Bible are part of the big meta-narrative of salvation and the second person of the Trinity coming to rescue and to redeem everyone.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. You can read his review of Ant-Man at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ted, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
Folks, college students are going to be returning to campus shortly, really, really shortly, like within a couple of weeks. And it's important that your college-age child or your grandchild connect with LCMSU. This organization connects your kids in college and university with solid Lutheran resources, solid Lutheran congregations and pastors. Find out more about LCMSU, lcms.org/LCMSU, lcms.org/LCMSU. When we come back, we're going to turn to a subject that we have often visited here, the Little Sisters of the Poor, in and out of court and up and down from and to the Supreme Court. They're back to the Supreme Court. Of course, the issue is religious liberty and the HHS mandate. We'll get an update with Stephanie Barclay, legal counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, based in Washington, D.C. Lutheran Service Book is a hymnal with more than 600 hymns, Luther's Small Catechism, 150 psalms, daily prayers, and more. And you can take it with you wherever you go with the new Lutheran Service Book ebook edition. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, a devotional resource when you're on the go. Lutheran Service Book ebook edition, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, issuesetc.org.
It's here, it's here, it's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition, a comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
You might wonder, is it possible for my child with special needs to receive a rich classical Christian education? Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope answers yes. With the Simply Classical curriculum created by Cheryl and published by Memoria Press, there's no reason to withhold a beautiful education from any struggling student. Visit ClassicalSpecialNeeds.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR. ClassicalSpecialNeeds.com.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.